It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome, everyone. This is Colonel Rhett John on the National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network. And I'm really honored to have quite a noteworthy figure, James Herson, who fights the good fight out in the LA Basin. He's an entertainment lawyer, well experienced in media, and I'm just really excited and to have him on the show. So, James, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to be with you, John.
Yeah, thank you, James. And I just as I was reading about you, and I've heard of you. I know a little bit about you. But, you know, just tell everybody, I like to have first-time guests kind of just talk a little bit about, you know, where their journey. And you can give me the long story here, because a lot of times people have very interesting stories that they might know the person, but they don't really know the story here. So how did you get to be James Rose?
A little bio.
Yeah, James Herson.
I was born in Chicago, and I majored in music my entire life, and in undergraduate school as well. And I worked at the recording studios in Chicago. And at the time, these great recording artists were making records, and, you know, singers mainly, but they were African American, what is called rhythm and blues. And so I happened to have an affinity for that kind of music, which at the time there was not affirmative action. So I had to actually be funky when it was called for. And so I played with some really amazing people. I played with Natalie Cole and Jerry Butler, Ramsey Lewis, The Impressions. And I ended up on the road with the Temptations for a few years. And that it was the Temptations that brought me out to the West Coast and to California. This is a long time ago, of course. And the music industry, one of the things I noticed was people getting ripped off, very prominent people. And so I thought, well, this might be a mission for me. I'm going to become a lawyer and help people who are getting ripped off. And it led me in a different direction. So I've worked for most of my life in transactional law in a very weird business, the entertainment business. And I say it's weird because it has the most unusual contractual provisions in the world. Maybe even more so than the military-industrial complex. It's called, in the entertainment business, they originated something called creative accounting. And the best example I can think of creating a creative accounting is everyone knows the movie Titanic. And Titanic starred Leo DiCaprio. And in Leo DiCaprio's contract, he was very excited. He was going to get 18% of the net profit. And Titanic's one of the biggest films, box office-wise, ever made. And a lot of people are shocked to find out that Leo DiCaprio's take on that 18% of the net was zero. That's creative accounting. Buried in his contract were these provisions with subsidiaries that sucked out all the profit and made sure that as far as the artists were concerned, they would never show a net profit. And that's now it's kind of a maxim in Hollywood. You know, there is no net in Hollywood. So real powerful actors not on their first film, but on subsequent films were able to get what's called first dollar gross. And they were able to get their money before the studios took out their fake expenses. And so they're in, you know, so real, and we don't have those kind of stars hardly anymore. You know, just in the Marvel movies, Robert Downey Jr. probably gets first dollar net. But in any case, it's a weird business. And then the overlay of Hollywood, I started writing about it because it drove me crazy, the liberal bias. But now the liberal bias has transformed into insanity, what Elon Musk calls the woke mind virus. So we see it manifest in, for example, the dying Academy Awards, rotten ratings every year. Obscure films that nobody knows, except this year they knew, Barbie and Oppenheimer. But, and then of course, all of the self-righteous preaching to America that America can't stand and the hypocrisy. And so it's a very insane business with a lot of very complex, difficult situations. Probably the big story in the business is Disney, which is the biggest, the most powerful, most influential entertainment company in the world still, but a brand that is slowly being destroyed by the woke mind virus. Walt Disney started a company with this great idea. I'm going to make a company that parents can trust. I'm going to create characters that are lovable, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And look at what Disney is now. Disney actually put out a film meant for kids with where the main character was Satan. And Satan falls in love with has a teenage love affair and gets a young girl pregnant. That's today's Disney. That, and then, of course, what they've done. Poor Bob Iger, he's one of the smartest guys, executives walking, but he ran a company and he acquired this massive group of assets. So, the Star Wars franchise, the Marvel franchise, Pixar, and he had to watch his successor destroy every franchise. And now they called him back and he's got this massive ship that's sailing the wrong direction. Within employees that hate America and hate him and hate the values of Disney. And he's supposed to try to turn this around. And it's so there's a shareholder dispute going on, and it's very exciting. And I hope somebody else takes over. But I think the only way Disney can ever save its brand is to have something like what Elon Musk did with Twitter. He fired 80% of the employees, changed the name, and released his files to the world, which we now know the Twitter files, and they're wonderful because they reveal what everyone suspected, that the government was coercing social media platforms to censor. So that was an interesting bio. I got into the censorship at the end, but. But that's so I ended up, and then I started writing, and I've been writing for, oh my gosh, 25 years maybe longer. I've been with Newsmax with Chris Ruddy's outfit, and been writing op-eds, and I wrote a couple of bestsellers, a New York Times bestseller, and I did all the cable channels. I was on. It's kind of funny, but years ago. I was a regular on Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect on ABC. I was a regular on Joe Scarborough's Scarborough Country that was on MSNBC. I was on CNN all the time. I mean, it's really funny to think back. I mean, I like so many others, I'm pretty much banned from all of them now. It's just it's a very strange dystopian America. Very dark right now, but there's bright spots coming up. So,
I have several questions. I just found that fascinating, and it was John Edwards said there are two Americas back in 2004, and he was right. There are two
I remember
Americas.
that.
Yeah, there are two Americas. Now, who did DiCaprio? Did he fire. I mean, as soon as you described that, I said, oh, I mean, net, of course you're gonna financially ensure, you could financially ensure you have zero profit. Did he was he did he didn't know what he was doing? Did he fire his lawyer? I mean, his agent? What happened? How did he fall for that?
Well, it was his first big gig. And this story, by the way, it happened to Ben Affleck. It happened to Matt Damon. And it happened, I mean, it's just happened over and over again where people didn't have the bargaining power. So, no, he didn't sue anyone because he took it as a rite of passage. It's like hazing. And of course, he got a big, look at the career. That film boosted his career and he had a decent payday with the money he got up front. But it's just, I only brought it up as an example of the unique contractual provisions that are in entertainment contracts that aren't in any other that I know of, any other industry. And it's just the entertainment business because it's very superficial. It's based on looks and glamour. And so there's a tremendous amount of backstabbing inherent in the business, and a lot of petty things, but it's similar. It's very similar to Washington, D.C. People say, who was it? It was one of Clinton's cronies that said, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. And so I forgot which. Oh, Paul Begala said that. Do you remember? That's an old name. But yeah, it's a crazy business, but it's crazier than ever now. And it's gone. It's changed. It always was biased, at least all my adult life, but now it's downright overtly hateful. So that, the same kind of attitude that we hear from certain leaders when they say the word MAGA, they don't say it like they're thinking that America would be greater than it is, be great again. They say MAGA Republicans, and it's a scapegoat, of course. So it's a different thing. So it's one thing to be right of center in Hollywood, but it's a whole nother thing to be a Trump supporter in Hollywood. And a lot of them have left.
I'm just, how do you survive out there? How do you survive?
Well, but part of it is it, having been around long enough to that you don't need them, and that I'm in that category. Not that I'm, some Jeff Bezos or something, but I'm able. I have some select clients that I work with that I like working with, and I have a lot of others that I won't, and they don't want to work with me anyway. So it works out. It's a win-win.
Well, we have some Disney stock, and I mean, people just freak out when I say that. Why would you? We're not a whole lot. I buy stock just because I like to. I find it interesting to understand companies, and
Oh, I
but
do too. I like that too.
yeah, I and I just the Disney brand. It's like they're doing everything possible to destroy their customer base and insult their customer base. Their stock is the worst performing, other than Boeing. His doors keep blowing off the Boeing doors, but it's just like baffling. And I know one of the people on the board, and they're kind of on our team. And I'm just wondering, I'd love to hear some of these board meetings, but what is, are they just insane? Have they just lost their minds? It's just the cancer of
Well,
what is it?
I do think board rooms are different than they used to be. We have that ESG, we have these measurements of virtue signaling for companies. We live in a world of Target and Bud Light and now Tyson Foods, and you mentioned Boeing. Yeah, definitely. There are reports that the reason Boeing is having this, they're in a crisis, and it's because of allegedly because of this DEI policy that they have. And then the whole You were in the aerospace industry. I mean, look at what's happened to the aviation industry and the idea that pilots are not hired based on merit. It's like, I mean, you couldn't convince someone 15 years ago that that could happen. But we live in that kind of crazy, insane world, and where people are required to believe lies. And if you don't believe it, then you're a quote denier. And it just so it's all part of that. But I do think it's interesting. You mentioned you know someone on the Disney board. Business is a and the free market is something very beautiful, you know. I heard somebody say that if we look back, you know, a few thousand years, that only monarchs had a cabinet full of spices. Spices were gold. And now you go into just about anybody's house, and there's this array of spices, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And where did it come from? I'm sure it's not that way in Cuba or Venezuela or in China, but it is that way in America. It's because individuals are incentivized to get those spices into grocery stores and make a profit. And so in a sense, it may be the free market that saves some resources like Disney. I mean, I think of Disney as an American resource. Entertainment was the greatest export of the United States. So, and the greatest storytellers. I mean, I'm partial to the golden age of Hollywood, but if you turn on some of these classic cable stations and sit down and watch the filmmaking that they did in real time without digital effects, it's masterful on every level. And a lot of that mastery it has been lost. Every single that mastery has been lost because of technology, and it's being lost. I read an article recently that young people cannot tell time if they look at an analog clock anymore. They're not taught how to tell time. They don't know how to use the kind of techniques and arithmetic that people were taught. They don't know how to do cursive writing. A beautiful skill. And so all of this kinesthetic learning that took place is being lost. People don't know how to make change. If you go in to a store and use cash, well, first of all, that flummoxes the clerk anyway, but they used to know how to make change. So it's a lot of skills are being lost, and that may be a factor, but I noticed because I taught undergraduate level and law school, and I noticed in my career that people's writing skills, thinking skills, logical skills, and those are what kind of courses that I taught were important. Reading comprehension, all of those kinds of basic skills were headed on a downward trend every year, lower.
Hey, James, we got about 15 seconds here. This is absolutely fascinating. We're going to be right back. Everyone, this is Colonel Rhett John, Colonel Rhett John on the National Security Hour with my special guest, James Herson, and we'll be right back.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's healthycell.com. Code out loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back. This is Colonel Rhett John on the National Security Hour, and got a just an incredible special guest, James Herson, who's just been a warrior for all of us, right in the belly of the beast, the Swamp West. I lived in the Swamp East. He lives in the Swamp West.
I like that, Swamp West. That's good.
And I love the L.A. Basin. Uncle and aunt who grew up, just very close to San Francisco. And I remember as a kid, they'd drop me off and I'd be able to walk around San Francisco as a kid, absolutely, totally safe, nothing wrong. And, the world has changed. But James, we were talking about a number of the things that had changed. Let me ask you this. What were the early indicators? When did you start seeing the flags of something is going the wrong direction?
Well, it's not necessarily, what I've done, I saw it when I first got exposed to people in the entertainment industry when I was just a kid, but I researched it. I wanted to know. A lot of people always ask me that. When did Hollywood really lose its way? And it's important to understand that Hollywood had a top-down system. It was called the studio system. There were only five main companies that controlled not only the means of production, meaning that they're going to create movies, and movies was the only thing at that when it began in the golden age, but they controlled the theaters too. Mm-hmm. So there was a really big event, a Supreme Court case, an antitrust case that said, no, we're not going to let you own the means of production and the theaters. And they basically broke up those companies. And in the process, there were other forces involved, but the studio system fell apart. And the studio system had a tight control over the creators, and particularly the celebrities. The actors were if you recall, this is an amazing thing to think of. It still exists, but it really isn't enforced. But actors had a morals clause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A former postmaster general named Will Hayes, in an event. Well, Hollywood wanted to circumvent, similar to the high tech today, they didn't want government to regulate their content. So they said, we'll do it ourselves. And they asked this guy, formerly in a cabinet in Washington, D.C., to create a production code. It became known as the Hays Code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you look at reruns of I Love Lucy, you'll see Lucy and Desi with twin beds. And if they're kissing where the beds are in the room, one leg is up. And there were all of these really good rules protecting families and children. And they were all voluntary. And that was the norm. that was so that whole system started to disintegrate at the same time as this, almost the same time. Just a few years later was the big sexual revolution, peace revolution, hippie revolution that I was knee-deep in. And there were these films that were rebellious, supposedly, but they tore down the barriers. And people in creative communities almost always lean left, particularly people in the theater and people involved in acting and music, particularly acting, their stock and trade is emotions. And the
You mean
left.
people who don't actually have to work lean left?
Yeah, well, you can say that. Yeah, but it's hard work when they do it right. You know, it's
Oh,
hard work. They have to do a lot
sure.
of rehearsing. But their stock and trade is crying on cue. So that's a perfect kind of set for the left to come in and propagandize them. And so, when we heard about Senator McCarthy's investigations on the East Coast and HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee on the West Coast, and the blacklist, well, that was based on real infiltration by Communist Party members, both in the Roosevelt administration. It's proven now, the Verona files have been released, and in Hollywood. There were tons of card-carrying communists. They were inserting content. And a guy who testified and named names was a guy named Ronald Reagan. And
Yeah,
there were a lot of other
absolutely.
famous names. But the left, in the form of leftist dictators, were always enamored with entertainment. Hitler had a documentarian. Lenny Riefenstahl won an Oscar. There was Stalin put a hit on John Wayne, had the KGB try to kill him. Of course, you can't kill John Wayne. So, but he survived, and he was an ardent anti-communist. And so Hollywood, the blacklist was like this cloud over Hollywood, and in almost a reaction to the blacklist, and still they've made like a couple of dozen films dealing with that subject. It's a good way to get a film greenlighted. But these events moved them leftward. So by the late 1960s, it was all liberal. And that was okay because they were like a little bit, they still w were liberals of the, maybe the centrist liberals like Bill Clinton was sort of. But then we saw this change in the Democrat Party, and it came to an apex with the lockdowns and the mandates of the pandemic and the summer of love of 2020, summer of flames and love and mostly peaceful protests. And so Hollywood now, like many corporations, many publicly traded companies, the biggest companies in America have gone woke, like the NFL, the NBA, and has no tolerance for the unwoke. And so, for example, I just give you one example of something in Hollywood, a phenomenon. And if you think about it logically, it makes sense. Comedy writers. Writing comedy is one of the hardest things. That is really hard work. And if you'll notice, when there's a sitcom, you'll always see a bunch of names. And that's because it's a collaborative art form. But these poor people, these comedy writers, comedians and comedy writers and people that want to write things that are funny, they used to joke about a joke starts with two guys walk into a bar. And then, or two ethnic guys walk into a bar. Well, now it has to be, wait, why are they just guys? Can we have a woman? Okay, a guy and a woman walk into a bar. Wait a minute, there's not a non-binary person. So it goes on and on. There's this secret set of rules that govern speech. And the creative process is a brainstorming process where everything goes, but everything doesn't go. And then you have people in the room with the comedy writers with no sense of humor, monitoring things. And it, so the, in essence, a lot of people have said this, comedy's dead, mm-hmm. that comedy's not alive. And if you look, again, looking back in time, Norman Lear's television program could not be shown today. Mm-hmm. It's even gotten to the point Seinfeld could not be shown.
Oh, so, yeah.
There's been a big controversy over the years about Friends. Mm-hmm. Some of the most, and there's a question, you know, will they continue to show these reruns? There's huge amounts of money involved, but there are places that have banned Gone with the Wind, mm-hmm. for example. It's a Civil War context. You might see a Confederate flag. You might have a African-American servant appearing in the show, who happened to win an Academy Award, by the way. You might see, gosh, these are characters, you know. So it's a tragedy of creativity. And there's some people pushing back on it, like Dave Chappelle's a good example. But they're willing to take the arrows, and they come, you know, vigorously and viciously. Ricky Gervais, I was thinking of him because he was hosting the Golden Globes, and he sat up there and just lambasted the Hollywood glitterati and told them how fake they are and how America can't stand their self-righteous preaching and all that stuff. Was an amazing moment. And but he was pushing back because, I mean, he's pretty out there sometimes. And I'm not saying I like all his comedy, but the idea of freedom and free will and liberty is very important to artists. I wish they would realize it. It's also very important to journalists, but they don't seem to realize it. They seem to be more concerned about basically going along and pushing a narrative they know to be false. And unfortunately, that's the people that are the so-called elite on both coasts, people in the news business, the media business, people in the entertainment business, the majority of people that have the reins of power are brainwashed or are going along with other elites thinking that the country's going to be okay. And but the problem is their ideas, we already see that when they manifest into actual policy, the country's far from okay. The country is dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I say. It's things are not normal. Things are not okay. And there's just this huge, and you know, I live in Virginia and my career has been national security with the government and things like that. And a lot of my former colleagues and former peers, you know, they just, hey, just shut up, sit down, do what you're told. Everything's actually really going good. I go, no, it isn't. It isn't going good. It's going bad. This is not normal. This is not good. And it's this bizarre, psychotic groupthink that, again, you know, why would Disney just insult everybody who's their fan base? It's just insane. Wow. So, because I, you know, my wife and I, we grew up. I mean, hey, we're old enough. We remember Laugh-In, Sonny and Cher. That was some great, great productions. And they would never be made today.
Oh, no way. Yeah, because they, I mean, it's the whole idea that used to be journalism spoke truth to power. Well, comedians followed the same approach. Another guy who's pushing back is Bill Maher, seems to mm-hmm. be pushing back. He's similar to Elon in the sense that, you know, he still has one foot in each area, but I think part of the reason is because I know him. I was on a show and I got to know him, and he's a decent guy, and I think realizes as a very creative person that the elite that he used to admire on the left want to muzzle him, want to censor him, and it's clear that we have politicians and we have people that are running media companies that are no longer have any sense of responsibility. I think that, in comedy, was I was talking about comedy, the essence of a good joke is truth. Inside the joke, there's truth. There's a kernel of truth. Otherwise, it wouldn't be funny. Well, in journalism, truth is supposed to be their business. The whole idea of a free press is to inform the public. And yet, what we see is a series of psyops where there's a hoax being perpetuated. And when the hoax is exposed, it doesn't matter. There's no shame or accountability, or rarely, I shouldn't say no, but it appears most of the media is in lockstep on pushing these various hoaxes, most of which involve former President Donald Trump. But just recently we had this bloodbath hoax where the president is speaking in Ohio and he's talking about the auto industry and saying that if China uses the trade agreement as a loophole and ships electric cars for Mexico, it's going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry. And we hear that term bloodbath used virtually every time the stock market has a really bad deal. So this is a bloodbath on Wall Street. But this time, all of a sudden, in a coordinated effort, the entire legacy media, the Biden administration, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, a bunch of former office holders and current office holders came out with the exact same language, saying the president has said the country will be in a bloodbath if he doesn't win. He's advocating violence. He's acting like a dictator. It's Hitler and Stalin rolled into one, and the usual stuff. And I guess we have to use euphemism and say, well, it's misstated. It's a falsehood. It's a lie. And then when they're, thanks to mostly Elon Musk's ex, they're completely busted because independent journalists are, it's easy. They put up the video of Trump in context. And instead of saying, oh gosh, here's a retraction, we made a mistake, oh, that was wrong, they either double down, they don't talk about the mistake, or like Joe Scarborough, they have a meltdown and start cursing. And so, but the beautiful thing is their credibility is so low. When I say them, I'm talking about the legacy media's credibility is so low. They used to be able to get away with this kind of coordinated slam that Pelosi's even talked about it on a video, but they can't do it now because there's too many podcasts like yours. There's just a whole load of places that people can find out what's really happening. And so there's a percentage, like Lincoln said, that are getting fooled and they think that the fake narrative is real. But I hope and pray that percentage gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Oh, this is just absolutely awesome. Well, James, we're going to be right back with the next segment. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back after this break.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
And we're back. This is Colonel Rhett John, the National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network with James Herson. And we're just having a fantastic discussion. And James, one of the things we really haven't talked about so far is the Chinese influence and in Hollywood. So how are you feeling it out there? And what's the latest?
Well, I think the first thing to understand, people who are in power in Hollywood are insecure people because personnel changes all the time. And it's a very insecure business. It's a very hard business to make it in. And so they have this insecurity. And so therefore they like sure things, and especially economic sure things. And China has become the number one box office source in the world, the number one consumer of entertainment. And so much like in other areas of economics, they have leverage and power based on that. And that's affected decisions made in Hollywood, but it's affected even the content, the creativity, and probably maybe the most well-publicized example of this is a few years ago, they remade a popular film called Red Dawn. And Red Dawn was based on the premise that there is an invading enemy of the United States that's fended off by ordinary citizens, very young, teenagers with firearms. A bit of a fantasy, but really fun. And so they remade it, but instead of, I think the original one, I think had Soviet bad guys. And then they said, oh, we got to update it, make it Chinese bad guys. And after the film was completed, and I mean, the principal photography was done, the editing was done, the script had been written, it was cast, it was done. It was down to the final edit. The word came down from afar that the Chinese market wouldn't accept this. And they have a quota system, and they routinely block and censor. So if a studio hears that China doesn't like it, then they want to change it to make it acceptable. So they actually, because they had completed everything, they had to go reshoot scenes, use computer generated imagery to change the bad guys into North Koreans. Which for some reason the Chinese accepted, a Chinese puppet state. But anyway, they did. And then there was a well-publicized thing about Tom Cruise in his remake of Top Gun. He had his flight jacket, leather jacket, had an emblem on it that the Chinese communists didn't like. And they, I think in that case, Cruise particularly personally said, I'm not changing it. And I think they actually blocked that film, but it was the most successful film all over the world. It didn't matter that much, but there's an attempt and successful attempt to alter actually the screenwriting process to please, the Chinese censors. And another example of that is an actor who was at the top, really, but people long to be in Hollywood. And that's Richard Gere, who did, I think, maybe his biggest box office was Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, but he was in a ton of films. And then all of a sudden he wasn't. And that's because he supported Tibet. And he himself was a Tibetan Buddhist and follower of the Dalai Lama. And they're held in ill repute and mistreated, all kinds of human rights violations, second only to the Uyghurs, and never discussed, never, none of that is important. And it's shocking, you know, the left, the compassionate left, don't seem to care about human rights violations in China.
He disappeared 10, 15 years ago. So that means the influence of the pull of the Chinese goes back that far.
It does. It does. Absolutely. Now, there are people who are, I think most of them rationalize, but there are people in Silicon Valley and in Hollywood who somehow claim that China, you know, they're not that bad. Kind of like what we've heard Joe Biden say, you know, if you get to know the Chinese, they're not that bad. But, and so they overlook all of the human rights violations, the social credit scores, you know, the history and the fact that they're communists. So there's a part of that. But the big thing, of course, is economics and just the fact that the Chinese 15 years ago, there was the anticipation that China would become the biggest market. And that was the discussion point in Hollywood seminars and trades and things like that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's an evolving theme. And I think Blade Runner in the 80s, it was portraying a Japanese rise and dominance over the American West Coast. But now it's China. And I think with Tencent, it is really deep. Now, I'm just curious, this is relevant to this conversation, which congressional district are you in, if I may ask?
Oh, I'm currently where I live. I'm in a congressional district with a Democrat, Congresswoman Katie Porter, who ran for Senate.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it's what it used to be, a red district, but they managed to turn it blue. But there's always the possibility. Here in California, we have some districts that are fulcrum districts that can swing back and forth. It's hard for people to imagine red congressional districts in the blue state of California, but they're here.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were in Ted Lieu's district, who he's a lawyer.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a maniac, Ted Lieu. I mean, you know, you're probably going to allude to, he says the way to avoid misinformation is people should watch MSNBC, even though MSNBC pushed, for example, the Russia collusion hoax more than any other network. MSNBC is the face of fraud. And so for him to say that, you know, it's very obvious because he's really a mouthpiece for this globalist leftist combine. And he says whatever would help them. And I guess it would help them if more people watched MSNBC, because it's an absolute propaganda outlet. It also pushed the bloodbath hoax most recently more than any other network, and did so continuously after the truth was exposed to them, that they were taking it out of context. And that's their pattern. It's unapologetic journalistic malpractice over and over again from MSNBC. And they don't make any money on top of it.
What do you think of this term? And I think I've seen some references from you talking about terms such as bloodbath, Christian nationalists. That seems to be another boogeyman they've created.
Well, the regime, and particularly the Democrat Party, has been successful. The left has been successful weaponizing language in a way that George Orwell would kind of blush at it. They change language to fit narratives, and sometimes they create demonized words. And that's what, I'm glad you brought up the Christian nationalist label, because, you know, it's a term that hasn't been used in the past, and all of a sudden it was used in a coordinated method using Hollywood and the media. Hollywood came out with a documentary. Rob Reiner, who is a successful and schooled filmmaker, and he came out with a documentary using that term and trying to attack. I mean, the organizations that he painted with this broad brush of Christian nationalism included the Heritage Foundation, for example. So just kind of mainstream right of center political institutions, in his mind, he pushed them into the Christian nationalist label. And very cleverly, but diabolically so, when Reiner was doing interviews, he would mention white nationalism in the same sentence as Christian nationalism. These are the things they accused Trump of doing, you know, using words like that. But he tried to draw a parallel with Christian nationalism and white nationalism and playing the race card. So the idea is that if you're a patriotic person of a Christian denomination, that somehow that makes you a racist, or worse, you're going to take away democracy and substitute a kind of a dictatorship theocracy. And, you know, there's some tiny, teeny fringe groups of, you know, white nationalists that sometimes were using Christian jargon, and that's how they kind of draw a connection. But it's an attempt to demonize, as the regime has done with the term MAGA Republicans, and create scapegoats and people to go after. And, you know, we've heard lots of announcements from people who are supposed to be protecting the homeland, saying that the biggest threat to this homeland is, quote, white supremacy. White supremacy is the biggest threat. So that's what we have to focus our intelligence community and our homeland security and our various institutions to protect our country on, whatever that is, white supremacy. Well, now they're trying to equate that concept of white supremacy with people of faith. I think it didn't work in the way they wanted it to. One example empirically of that is that Reiner's documentary flopped miserably. I mean, it was just an embarrassing flop. There had to be movie theaters with one person in the theater watching that. You know, it opened with a miserable showing. I think it was like $38,000 or something. I mean, it's just, I don't know what their budget was, but just the licensing to make a documentary these days, you can't really escape getting into the millions. And so that's going to be a loss. And that's one example. And of course, the other example is of the polls, and looking at the poll numbers when you have the kind of incredible attacks from all quarters that have been focused on the former president, Donald Trump, and yet he is ahead in the polls. That just shows the media doesn't have the power it used to. When I say the media, the legacy media, they don't have it.
I keep on hearing that there's a MAGA underground inside of Hollywood, inside of the LA basin. I mean, is that true? What is it? Is there a teeming MAGA group out there? What's going on with that? Or
yeah, I like that phrase. You know, we should register the URL, MAGA Underground. But it's or it could be a band, like punk band, you know. But they have to, you know, it's funny. We go back in history, and a great American and incredible actor, Charlton Heston, who was demonized. You know, he was the president of the NRA and all that. But he's the first person I heard say this. He used to call it a closet conservative. Mm-hmm. And it is true in Hollywood. When I taught in a department that also had people that went and interned in Hollywood, young people, and this was a Christian institution, and the kids found out real fast that I better not talk about my faith or my politics. And I asked them, how did you know? And they said, well, I saw the bumper stickers. I saw the pictures on the boss's desk. I saw posters on the wall in the canteen. I saw, you know, so it the message is received loud and clear that in this industry, much like many others, you know, on both coasts, you have to keep your politics a secret. So the underground part is real. And there even was a group, it disbanded, but there was a group called Friends of Abe that was in Hollywood, a kind of a support group for people who were underground, you know. But MAGA is a whole nother thing. I mean, being right of center would kill your career. Being MAGA, a lot of the people that would, you know, be self-described MAGA have left the state and moved to Florida and places like that. A good example is Antonio Sabato Jr., who had a big career. He was actually started out as a male model, but he's done quite a bit both in Hispanic countries, but in the U.S. And he describes himself, he was exiled, he was pariahed out of the industry and left the town. So there's definitely a MAGA underground, and there is a MAGA underground in the state of California that, you know, you see it at rallies, you see it at various demonstrations that come out, and, you know, it's mostly outside of the urban areas. It's not in the heart of San Francisco or Los Angeles, but it's in the state of California.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, hey, James, this has been absolutely incredible, and I thank you so much. I'd love to have you back on a number of times. How do people get to James Herson? What are your grid coordinates?
Well, I'm very active on the social media. I've been a longtime user of Twitter X, and my handle is at the Jim Jams, and at the Jim Jams, and I have a website, James Herson, HIRSEN.com. I've written for years for Newsmax, so Newsmax.com, and those are the places you can find me.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much, James, and thank you for just being just absolutely unbowed, unashamedly an advocate for what's right, right in the middle of the Swamp West. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you so much for your valuable service to protecting this nation. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, James. God bless you, too. Everyone, this has been Colonel Rhett John, America Out Loud News Network, with James Herson.